Today on Real Radio.
The promise is a spiritual issue. You can't have a promise and you can't have the promised land unless you believe in the God of the Bible. That's why Israel's neighbors who believe in Islam cannot have Israel there. They cannot have Israel having the land. Why? Because they don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in the God of the Bible. So Israel's got to go, and if Israel's gone, then that's going to help matters. It's not going to put an end to matters, but it's going to help matters in the natural mind.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're taking a look at chapter 11. This is where one of Israel's army leaders makes a decision to sacrifice his own daughter. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called When Children Pay the Price.
When you and I were born, we were born in the flesh first. We mentioned it on Sunday. We need to be born again because we need to be born of the Spirit. Remember? Right? Well, the promise is a spiritual issue. You can't have a promise and you can't have the promised land unless you believe in the God of the Bible. That's why Israel's neighbors who believe in Islam cannot have Israel there. They cannot have Israel having the land. Why? Because they don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in the God of the Bible. So Israel's got to go, and if Israel's gone, then that's going to help matters. It's not going to put an end to matters, but it's going to help matters in the natural mind. But the Bible says, no, God promises that which comes second. In the human mind, nope, I first one across the finish line wins. God says, you know what? I've made a promise, and this is what's going to happen. And this battle that you see taking place, and you shall see in this chapter, is all about whose land is it? All of these pagans in that region, that when Jephthah is making these overtures of peace, but they're rejected, they all worship various Canaanite deities. Remember a moment ago when I was showing you those announcements for the Israel sign-up? Those pagan deities were transplants from first Babylon, then throughout the Middle East, and then even into Dan, the area of northern Israel. These pagan gods and their worship system. So you come down to the flesh versus the spirit, God in the minds of men versus these imaginary gods, and it forms a religious war. So what we see happening right here, we pick up in verse 28. Everything's been rejected from verses 12 to 27. Jephthah correctly enumerates the history. Verse 28, however, the king of the people of Ammon did not heed the words which Jephthah sent him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he advanced toward the people of Ammon. So he's marching forward now, in battle array. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord. And here's where the whole thing goes sideways. If you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the people of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. Now, you just got to circle that for a minute. That's like you going home tonight, leaving your office tonight and saying, God, if you just get me through the traffic at amazing speed, the moment I pull up in the driveway, whatever runs out of my house, I'm going to dedicate to you. I'm going to make a sacrifice to you. Now, it is true. Some commentators write, but Jack, go easy, because in those cultures, some people had animals in their homes. And that's true, they did. But can you imagine that he's thinking, oh, whatever comes out of my house. Well, first of all, people do live in his house. We'll see that in a moment. There are people who live in his house. What was he thinking? That his pet duck would come out first? Would it be cow? You know, the Bessie the cow coming out to greet him? Whatever comes out to greet me. Oh, you're home. You're home, Jephthah. Oh, or the cat? Is it the dog that runs out? You're home. You're home. What was it? He's got a daughter. It could be his daughter. What's he thinking? You say, well, Jack, doesn't he know any better? Insert this thought for a moment, because it will come back. Jephthah grew up in a backslidden Israel that had embraced foreign gods. All these Canaanite deities had human sacrifices involved in their worship. Am I saying that's what happened? I don't know what happened exactly. There's no scholars who know what happened. Everyone speculates on what's about to happen. But we'll have some fun with this in a good way as we get into this. But what a thing to say. Whatever comes out of my mouth. Doesn't the Bible warn us over and over again, don't make a rash vow? Because God holds us to what we say. Now, God does hold us to what we say. However, it is my strong opinion, I believe it's biblically based, that God will have nothing to do with what's about to happen. And we'll see this as we get into this. And so, he says that I'm going to dedicate to you, to the Lord, that is, whatever comes. So, verse 33, and he defeated them from Aor as far as Minnith, 20 cities, and Abel Karmim, with a very great slaughter. Thus the people of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. Verse 34. Then Jephthah came to his house at Mizpah. There was his daughter coming out to meet him with timbrels and dancing. What a sweetie, huh? And she was his only child. And besides her, he had neither no son or daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he tore his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You are among those who trouble me, for I have given my word to the Lord, and I cannot go back on it. This is you need to mark verse 35. So she said to him, my father, if you have given your word to the Lord, do to me according to what has gone out of your mouth, because the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, the people of Ammon. Then she said to her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone for 2 months, that I may go and wander on the mountains and bewail my virginity, my friends and I. Verse 38. So he said, go, and he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her friends and bewailed her virginity on the mountains. And it was so that at the end of 2 months that she returned to her father, and he carried out his vow with her, which he had vowed. So pay close attention. She knew no man, that is, she had sex with no man ever. She's a virgin. And it became a custom in Israel, verse 40, that the daughters of Israel went 4 days each year to lament the daughter of Jephthah. Now, what in the world is happening here? We know this, and this is a good thing. I told you to mark verse 35. You guys understand this. Why did he go through with this? Go through with what? We shall see. But why did he go through with it? Why did he hold to the vow? Because you would say, well, he swore to God. That's the vow. A vow is to swear to God. And he says, I cannot go back on it. Well, number one, the law of God made it very clear that the Lord does not accept human sacrifice. The God of the Bible, hear me loud and clear. Can you hear me in the back? The God of the Bible does not accept human sacrifice, nor require it or demand it. He doesn't request it. It's an abomination to the Lord. Does he not say in the scriptures, you shall never allow your children to pass through the fire or to be offered up to pagan gods? Never. God does not do that. There are many other religions that offer up human sacrifice. We see children being sacrificed. By the way, the ancient practices of these pagan deities, isn't it interesting that those demon deities required their children to be sacrificed? Isn't that a brilliant stroke of Satan? Look, there's just something special. When a man and a woman come together in marriage and in love and in life and they crank out babies, there's just something awesome about that. And of course, God blesses that. But when a mom and a dad, now they got a kid, when you have a baby or when you have a child, I guess it doesn't matter how old they get, huh? It just doesn't matter. You, the parent, would rather suffer than your child. In fact, that's the great, listen, some of you young people, I am not your parent, so you have to listen to me right now. Your mom and dad didn't pay me to say this. You don't realize, and they hide it. Every parent hides it. How much they love you, you don't realize. When you make a stupid decision, when you do things to hurt your life and to ruin your future or to not make it as good as it could be, it kills your parent. It kills them. And you might say, well, that's pretty, I like that part because I want to get back at them anyway for whatever grudge you're holding against them. You didn't get the Christmas gift you wanted. Well, I want my mom and dad to suffer all the grief they've caused me. You don't even know what you're talking about. They love you. And when you make a decision that affects your life, you've got to realize something. They love your life more than they love their own life. A parent will give up their life for your life. God, it's a divine thing. God put that in the parent's heart. We have that value. God has that value even more. He loves life. So what is Jephthah saying? He is saying something that is even against the scripture himself. I'm not blaming him so hardcore-like, but what I'm saying is this, Jephthah is a byproduct of a nation, Israel, that had been wayward from God. Do you understand that? When a nation gives up on God, it produces bad leadership or ignorant leadership. And Jephthah was a byproduct. He was what comes out of a broken nation. And he makes this vow, which God wouldn't have wanted in the first place. And then secondly, he's got some loyalty to a dumb vow. I can't change it. Like he's some kind of a king or something. I've issued a decree, it cannot be changed. He's got this mixed up morality. And again, I'm not slamming him. Maybe each and every one of us would have made the same ridiculous emotional decisions that he's making if we grew up in a culture so goofy as his. What I'm saying is, we better be careful. We can't change anything that Jephthah was involved in, but we can learn from it. And what is the culture that we're leaving to our children? Is it a culture of value? Now I want to run through some things that I hope will really make us think. There are several views, and I'll give them just straight up in the answers of, I'll save you hundreds of dollars worth of book buying and give you all of the answers. There are several views on what's happening here regarding Jephthah and his daughter. Number one, that Jephthah dedicated his daughter to the service of the Lord in a celibate relationship to the Lord, that she would be a servant of the Lord and she would never be married because in a sense the Lord would be her husband and her king and her God and she would be like a nun. She would be like a nun. She wouldn't marry. She would be a perpetual virgin in life because she would not be with any man ever and she would serve the Lord. That's one view. And it's a very popular view. It's not the only view, but it's a popular view because it feels better. And I have to say that that's the view I want to be right. I want that to be the right answer. Then there are equally great scholars that say, no, Jephthah dedicated his only daughter to the various Canaanite gods that he had grown up with in his culture and was in fact in the state of a backslidden Israel. That's true too. So which one is it? Well, I want it to be number one. I don't want it to be number two. But what do we know for sure? Is that our God does not accept human sacrifice. Bible condemns it. Human sacrifice cannot be offered up for atonement. Can't happen. This is my personal conclusion of what we're looking at here. That he did exactly the thing I didn't want him to do. I think he did this thing. Because of the background of his culture. I believe that culture has the power to form what people think, believe, and do. Why do you think it's called culture? And I'm with you. You might come up to me after service and say, but Pastor Jack, don't you think maybe he just dedicated to the Lord and everything was fine? Yeah, I want to believe it. But because the camp is divided on what it all means, it goes with the pagan adoption gods and worship system that Israel had taken. Now listen to this. In archaeological discoveries in Canaanite cities, church, buried under the foundations of the homes of Canaanite villages have been clay pots that have been unearthed with skeletons of infant children inside these clay pots. Buried in the foundation of the Canaanite homes. Archaeologists have found out that in the study of pagan worship of the Canaanite period, that these firstborns were dedicated, that if they were put in the home or under the foundation of the house, and the house built upon it, that they would have prosperity and peace in the future. You say, well, that's horrible. I agree it's horrible. Have you ever built anything, and as a Christian now, you build something? Maybe it's a house. Maybe it's an addition. I know we added on to our house, and when they came to pour this, you know, the footings and the foundation, I was out there with pieces. I took a Bible and put pieces in the concrete. When we, the spot I'm standing on right here, there's Bible in our foundation right underneath my feet. Why? Because we want everything to be built and, you know, secure under the foundation of God's word. But a pagan culture doesn't care about God's word. And it wants to offer to its gods the things that its gods want. And what does it want? Human life. Infant life. Young children. Little kids. Any belief system that is willing to offer up their little kids is of demon source. Think about it. Jesus said, don't mess with kids. Don't hurt them. If you offend them, it would have been better for you never to have been born than in the day of judgment. You don't mess with kids. God says, don't do it. People become like the gods they worship. And that is a chilling fact. If you worship, for example, Diana of the Ephesians, you're going to become like what Diana represents. And I don't have a picture tonight. In fact, I don't think I would show you the picture of Diana. I have it on my computer. We have it in our archives here. I have seen Diana. She's huge. She's thousands and thousands of years old. She's in the Vatican. If anybody's been to the Vatican, have you seen her? She's there on display in the Vatican and Rome. Diana. And she's this goddess of very, you know, erotic worship. She's grotesque looking. But when you worship in front of Diana, the reason why you picked Diana out of the various gods of the pagan world is because she's the one that gave your conscience clarity, or I should say freedom, to do what you wanted to do. See, you may be prone, you may say, well, man, what I want to do fits the worship of Zeus, then you'll go create Zeus to be your god. Why? Because your little god justifies, or what's the word, condones what you want to do. Are you with me? If Diana is your desire, then you're going to go worship at the temple of Diana because Diana approves of everything that you want. You see? If pornography is your thing, then you are going to worship at the altar of pornography and bow down to that god because that god allows you to do what you want to do. If it's, you know, envy or jealousy, or if it's control or possessions, you're going to go to that place. And it's no different today as it was back in those days. Each and every one of us have in our flesh, I'm not talking about the new you, the new born again you, I'm talking about the old, lost BC. You know what BC means? Before Christ? Before Christ, Jack. The things that I dreamt about, paid for, or drove to, or whatever I wanted, that was my God. And if somebody were to come to me and say, that's your God, I would say, what are you, some kind of a lunatic? I would have said back in those days, I believe in God. Watch this. I believe in God. God who? Well, I'm an American, so I would have said, the God of the Bible, the Christian God. I would have said that intellectually. I would have said that. But in actuality, what would I have done? Would I have worshipped at the altar of the Christian God of the Bible? No. I worshipped at the altar of Diana. You see? Don't look at me like that. You did it too. Whatever your thing was. Well, Diana wasn't my thing. Well, then who? Then what was your God? Budweiser? You went somewhere, and that's what Jesus rescued you and I out of. Remember? Isn't that awesome? Remember that. There are still the pagan altars and shrines that are very, very active today. More than ever. But people will create gods that condone their actions. When Jephthah offered up his daughter, I personally believe, because Israel was so lost, that what this man was able to possibly do for good, he winds up messing up terribly. It's a terrible end to what God began to do in his life. God gave him strength to go lead the nation into battle and gave him the victory. But he conducts himself wrongly. Listen to this carefully. In fact, why don't y'all turn there? Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. What is your God or gods famous for? And I know I'm speaking to the choir tonight, but maybe somebody will click on the podcast or whatever, and maybe they're a pagan person. Maybe they're a Wiccan or whatever. And I want to ask you something. If you're not worshiping the God of the Bible in actuality, what is your God or gods famous for?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called When Children Pay the Price, a look at the Old Testament book of Judges, chapter 11, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. We've also been telling you about Pastor Jack teaching a series currently called Life and the Bible, a collection of presentations taken from many parts of Scripture that offer up practical wisdom on not just what to believe, but how to live and deal with life situations. Some of the DVD subtitles in this series, Being a Christian at Your Job, Being a Christian in Your Relationships, Being a Christian in Your Home, well, now we're offering Being a Christian While Being a Woman. Now, for a gift of any amount in support of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's message on DVD called Being a Christian While Being a Woman, part of the DVD series called Life and the Bible. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and mention it by title, Being a Christian While Being a Woman. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And you can always visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.